Good morning.
Good morning.
Sir.
Good morning. Sir, you don't call me sir. I work for a living. It was an interesting couple of weeks. I have to say it's been an interesting couple of years. How many of you have watched preachers and people who are not preachers get up and talk about being in love with God, and you know, they say good morning Lord and he says good morning back, and you just get up and say good morning Lord and hello, good morning. Ever feel like that? 30 years, I believe. It's 2014 now. Wow. Yep, 30 years. I had to think. Must be my age. 30 years ago, I accepted the Lord.
Praise God.
I'm older than you. Personal joke, but 30 years ago, I accepted the Lord. 30 years ago, I started reading the Word of God. 30 years ago, I had that encounter. And I have never learned so much in that 30 years as I have in the last two.
Amen.
It's a hard thing to say when you sit there for 28 years figuring you're learning it. But you would sit there, and I would sit there, and I would hear a scripture, and the people would expound upon that scripture, and it would be plain as pea soup to me. I would read it, and reread it, and reread it, and reread it, and it would be about as alive as this tissue. The rhema of the word would not come. Then I'd hear someone say, the gospel of Jesus Christ is so simple, a child could understand it. Hello, you know my background. I'm pretty childish here, but it would not come. I would search and search and search diligently. Nope. I'd even try, well, you've heard me say it. Come on, Lord, I'm Polish. Hit me with the 2x4.
Careful, God.
I know you're Polish too. It's okay, we forgive you. All kidding aside, frustration will set in a heartbeat. You see people, I'm using you not as the example, but just as somebody. You see somebody come to the Lord and get blessed and blessed and blessed. I mean, it's like, and they're like, I heard from the Lord today. Yeah, it'd be nice if I did. How many of you ever felt like that? How many of you probably felt like that today? Do you know that I found that the gospel of Jesus Christ is so simple a child could understand it? Do you know when that actually opened up to me? 2 weeks ago. Now you're looking at me like weird. Because you've heard me preach up here. Did I preach a sermon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it good?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Did I hear from the Lord?
Yeah.
Obviously. But did I have a close-knit relationship? When I woke up a week ago, I got up to go to work. And you know what I heard? Where's the good morning?
Uh-huh. Come on. Hey, come on.
I had to stop for a second. I needed somebody that would open up the gospel of Jesus Christ to be so simple that I could understand it through every stress that I have. It's not that we're stupid. It's that we are so stressed as adults, we cannot think as a child.
Come on, you're
all right,
preaching.
All right.
Come on.
That little girl over there, I made the statement, you changed so much you knew every time you come in here. And it's a true statement because of the age. Grandma, when that baby was born, A week later, you held her. Was it a totally different baby?
Totally different
baby.
And even today.
Even today. But yet, we get up, we look in the mirror. We have not changed. Now, with all those stresses, think about this. To get to me, I had to go through Texas. My grandson was absolutely amazed. I was watching the Acts of the Apostle on DVD. And it was talking about Paul and going to Philippi. And I'm sitting, wow. He's there, wow, what? I said, I've been to that city. No, you haven't. Yes, I have. They got thrown in jail. I said, I've been to that prison. It didn't look like that, trust me. That's a nice looking prison. Then they moved on from there to go to Thessaloniki, or where the book of the Thessalonians was. And I said, I lived in that city for 2 years. No, you didn't. And this was all before I was born again. I had to go to Greece. Like I said, ministries from Texas, ministries from Louisiana, ministries all over the place. And it takes one from Singapore to open my eyes.
Come on.
Why? Because it's real basic. And I'm sitting there, I said, Lord, what are we missing? He said, you people have gotten so deep, you don't let the sun hit you. You go to the beach, you bury yourself in the sand instead of getting the suntan. The church is looking for deep. What's the world's measure of success?
Money.
That's right.
Anybody else? How about what you do? How hard you work? How much you apply to it? Right?
Mm-hmm.
What's God's definition of success?
Just to receive
relationship to Him.
It's not what you have, it's who you have.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Joseph was in prison. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Sold into slavery. And God looked at him as he's on that auction block and said, that's a successful man. Why? Because Joseph never let go of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's bring it up a little bit further. David was a man after God's own heart.
That's right.
Anybody know why? You're going to go nuts when you figure this out.
Because even though he screwed up, he kept seeking God. He kept coming back,
right.
Humbling himself.
Right, he did. When I first read that, I said, hey, he was quick to repent.
Right.
The Lord said, really? Let's look at Bathsheba.
Come on.
Did he repent upon walking out there and looking out over that railing?
No.
Every night. Did he repent that he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do as a king? His army was out fighting a battle, and he was back home looking at the woman over the railing.
Plotting how he...
When he brought her over, did he repent? No. And she came and said, guess what, buddy? Did he repent?
No.
No, he sent for her husband. Go sleep with your wife. Why? So he wouldn't be found out. The guy refused to. The man wasn't even of Israel, and he had enough common sense to say, oh, I'm not going to sleep there. My men are out there in the trenches. I don't have a right to seek comfort with my wife. So, David said to him, I'm sorry, but I slept with your wife. I got her pregnant. I'm trying to hide it. Now, he wrote a little note and said, put this guy in the front lines. Get him killed. Why? So he could marry Bathsheba and then say it was his kid. And it would all look good. But the prophet kind of put the end to that. But he was still a man after God's own heart. Now there, okay, why is that? Now, I don't even remember the scripture where it's at. Because of one statement that he made. And this was critical. What was the most holy city in the day? David's time. The most holy city. She's cooking on it. Jerusalem. What was the most holy item in the Jewish faith at that point?
The Ark.
The Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
David said that I will not sleep until I bring the ark back to Jerusalem. The ark is the representation of what?
The Lord, the Lord's presence.
Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know what the gospel is? You don't want to know what that super faith is? Putting Jesus in the center of everything that
come on,
you do.
Come on.
The most holy thing today is the tabernacle, which is within us. We are a mobile temple. Jesus is the Ark of the Covenant.
Amen.
You put Jesus at that forefront, in the center, no matter what. And that's all you're looking at. When God looks at you, what does he see?
Jesus.
What about you? What does he see? Daddy.
And son.
He sees Jesus.
Right.
Because of the blood that was shed for us on that cross, mm-hmm. because of the beatings, he looks down and he looks at us. He sees his only begotten Son.
Amen.
Remember last week I said prior to the law, we had the covenant with Abraham, mm-hmm. and it was a covenant of love. Of grace. God looked, did not bless Abraham according to what Abraham did. He blessed him according to what he was. Then the law came, and Jesus came. Your word last week.
I know it. When I read that in that book, I almost fell apart.
I told you you were going to fall apart. Do you remember the first few phrases of it? What you said?
I haven't.
Please.
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. My truth is on the other side of grace.
Okay, now what about the grace to grace?
Oh, then for the, yep. Grace is in place of grace before. Grace is in place of grace before.
Okay.
The grace that's in place is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is not a thing. It is a person.
Yes.
That person is Jesus.
Mm.
The Word of God states that as Jesus is today, so are we in this world. If there was a statement, I believe it was in Corinthians, it states that if you are Christ's, plural, the original Greek was not plural, it was singular. If you are Christ. Now, I'm not Christ. I'm not the Christ. But if I'm a member of his body, what am I? Theologians of the day that translated that could, no, we can't be Christ. So we're going to make the possession. Because obviously someone dropped the S. Now, you, when God looks at you, other scriptures that support it state as follows. In Christ, there is no male, no female,
right.
No Jew, no
Gentile.
Greek, or Gentile. Right. Bingo. What's the first thing? Now here, everyone likes to have accolades. Here's a beautiful one for all of us, if we can get our head around this one. What's the first thing God the Father said about Jesus when he came up out of the River Jordan?
This is my son.
This is my beloved son. In whom I am well pleased. Hebrews 8:12. I'm sorry, I just felt for Lori. Hebrews 8:12. In the New King James Version, I love it. It states that I will have mercy on there. I always blow that word. I like that. I said it 100 times coming here. On their unrighteousness. Their lawless deeds and sins I will remember no more. Who is speaking? The Father. That's in Hebrews, written by Paul. What's the gospel that Paul preached? You can do nothing to receive forgiveness. It has all been done by Christ.
Amen.
Period. You can say and do nothing to separate yourself from it. What did Jesus say? I will be with you even until end of the age. He's not going to let you go. We put things in the way. We've discussed it this church so many times. We go back to the law. Well, I can't be blessed by God because I need to do this. I said something foul to my husband or my wife. Nothing separates you from God's presence. He is a holy, just Father, a kind Father, loving Father, who just wants you to trust what His Son did, so that the unmerited favor or grace can come upon you and overtake you, and you become more like Him. Because as you put your focus on Jesus, you're going to focus in, I didn't do that, that was Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. You get out of yourself, get more into Him. Then the transformation starts to happen. Pete starts to act more like Jesus. Judy does. This young lady, I don't know your name. This young lady does. Gail does. The more you spend time in the presence of the Anointed One, the more that anointing comes upon you. And the more it comes upon you, the more it seeps out of you. The more it seeps out of you, the more people you touch.
Amen.
And when you start going to them and telling them, you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are forgiven of your sins, and that is it. There is no more. You can do no more. You accept that. You go forward in that. That's what drove people to the early church. Not come and receive Christ, and they'll obey the Ten Commandments. Not come and listen to our doctrine. No, sir. No, ladies. That's why it's so simple. When you were a child, and your father said, next Sunday we're going to go boating, what were you doing all week? You were thinking about what? You were going boating, and nothing was going to change that. It's the same thing with what our Father is saying here. And another thing, too. What's one of the benefits, like, you're going to love this, ladies. One of the benefits of being with the Lord. He renews your strength in your youth.
Woohoo! Come on.
Think about that. Look at Abraham's wife. Two kings wanted her for their heir. First king was not Pharaoh, that was the second king. First one, I forgot which city he was from, but guesstimation is Sarah was 65 years old then. Now, you're not going to tell me that this king wanted some old, wrinkly old lady. He looked at her and said, that's for me. The Lord was renewing her youth.
Come on,
sir. She was around 90 years old when Pharaoh wanted her. So you put two and two together, you know? And it was renewing Abraham as well. And the Spirit of God was not upon these people all the time. The Spirit that was upon them partially to do a job is within you every moment that you walk. How many people here have received Christ? Raise your hands. How many of you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Hello? Do you not know that you were bought with a price? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you and gives life to your mortal body. You see what I'm saying? Very important. Oh, you like that. Everything that I wrote down was not even going to be touched. I love it.
Amen.
Except for one. 6:14, Romans. As long as I'm being renewed, Lord, I'll be glad to get my hair and my glasses gone. Hair back, glasses gone. Get it in that order, please. Well, why not? Here it is. In the New King James, Romans 6, verse 14. Sin shall have no dominion over you. You are not under the law, but under grace. And I did it again.
Come on.
Mary.
The same bow on every glass. I'm telling you, it is just something about that left side. I guess I'm on the right, I'm not on the left side, huh? But
it's very important that we realize this, that Jesus is with you no matter what you do, no matter where you go. You go out and you speak bad of somebody, he's there. And you best not be speaking bad about one of his own.
Right, that's right.
Period. It's a hard thing to get a hold of because someone does something to us, we want to do something back. And you know, it's not God's way. It is not God's way. No matter what. You're going to bite the bullet and you're going to do the Christian thing. Yes, this person is a blessing to the Lord, a blessing to the church.
Amen.
Period. Amen. You can go in your room and stomp and just kick all you want. Lord, I know this person. That's okay. He knows you too.
That's right. Amen.
And neither of you would be where you are
unless
for him.
Amen.
So, I don't think there's anything else that needs to be said except to walk forward and make sure that you put Christ at the very center of everything that you say and that you do.
That's right.
And of course, it does not mean that if you're out to work and you're out there with a whole bunch of non-believers that you start shoving Jesus down their throat. No, you become the lighthouse.
Come on,
that's right.
Come on.
That's right.
You walk it instead of talking it.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
More people have been won by seeing it
Amen.
Than hearing
that's
it.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right.
And one of these days, it's going to happen. That young lady right there, she's going to walk down the street in Chicopee. Her shadow's going to fall on someone, and that person's going to get healed.
Amen.
And it's going to happen with each and every one of you. And you can sit there and say, no, it can't happen to me. Oh, no. Remember what I said? The end of January, I prayed I needed money. The beginning of February, the money that I said I needed was coming. It was there. Did I get down to a formal prayer? No. Lord, I need $300.
Yes, yes.
Paul, give you a quick understanding of how the Lord works. In the last month and a half, 2 months, this is what has happened. I have received 33 shirts, 22 ties, 16 pair of pants. They're too short. So I'm going to take a couple of them. The waist size is right. And I'm going to have them cut into
Come
shorts
on.
So I can have dress shorts for church, see?
That's right.
And the rest of them I will give away.
Uh-huh.
16 pairs of brand new socks. Never been worn. I half jokingly said, oh Lord, that's nice. Now I just need some shoes. 3 pair of shoes.
All
today.
Right.
That's working.
Come on.
100 gallons of oil for the heat. Shut
wow.
up. My aunt is getting out of the photography business, and a quick guesstimate, I have received in the last month and a half over $10,000 worth of photo equipment.
Wow.
That's good.
Most of it not usable. But it's just the point that the supply is there. Because I would love to open up a little deal to show people what photography used to be like before it was all computerized. The flashes she sent, I went online. 3 of them were $900 a piece. The batteries to run them, I have 2 of the packs, $499 each. God is preparing for something. Mm-hmm. He knows your heart. He knows my love of photography. Anyone that knows me knows my love of photography. No two ways around it. I don't care if I'm photographing people, a train, right, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Or out walking along a rail trail. Sort of a theme there, isn't there? Taking photos. But the Lord does know. Because even when I was not asking, he was prepared.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He will not drop you.
That's right.
And I look forward to seeing what's going to happen in the next 6 months. not only for myself, but for each and every one of you. I hear about Roy, and I'm like, get a hold of it, Roy. You're going to walk out of there.
Amen.
And you're going to be a man.
Amen. Amen.
You're not going to be held back. The Lord cares about every little piece of our lives. You look so dignified, Lord.
That's right.
But the theme of what I'm talking about is how you need to come to God anyways. He cares when you stub your toe. Every minor aspect. Think about everything that you enjoy in life. Think about the diversity of this planet alone. God is a God of detail.
Yes, he is.
He does not have anything in this planet that he does not care about. He knows, though it's easier on me, the number of hairs on our head.
That's right.
You know? If he cares that much about something that we don't care about, except we wake up and go, where did it go? How much more? When you reread the scriptures, a new believer in Christ, I would say skip Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts. Get right into the epistles of Paul. And don't go any further than that. Read that 3-4 times. Let that soak in. Then go into other areas. I'm rereading them, and there's a whole new life there. You've got to remember, above all, there is no more condemnation. As you do sin, either in thought or action, as fast as it happens, you are forgiven. That's the part we get the hard part about. You go to the gym, you're underneath that waterfall. How do you feel?
Like the living water's coming right in. I love it.
Jesus' blood cleanses you as if you are in a waterfall every millisecond. When we accepted Christ, 2,000 years before, all of our sin was in the future. It was squared up then. Not like some people teach, and you accept Christ, he forgives you from that point back. You were forgiven 2,000 years ago. That's the part we have to get into our heads. When you start to feel guilty, no. Look back toward that cross and say, no, it was squared up here. This is where it was taken care of by the blood of the Lamb, which covers me now. Father, you know that I looked over there. And, yeah, okay, I fell there. I know I did. I don't have control over that at this point, but you can change that in me. That's when God looks at you and says, the faith of my son. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus did something, did he just do it a little bit?
No.
Over and abundantly. The Sermon on the Mount, going to feed the 5,000. What is it? How many loaves? 3 loaves? 5 fish? Or in reverse, something to that effect? The end result was still 12 baskets of scraps. Bingo.
At the cross, the burden of my sin rolled away.
My God, why have you forsaken me? The first time I ever said that. It's when the punishment of our sin began. Mm-hmm. It is finished. Mm-hmm. It was finished. The only thing left to do was the final punishment for sin. And he did, right after that statement. He gave up his spirit and died. Mm-hmm. Not when the world said he'd die, when he said it was time to go. He became our sin so we could become his righteousness.
Jesus.
We do not deserve it. Nothing that we receive do we deserve, but neither did he deserve what he received 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
The great exchange. That's where we're at. That's where we need to walk. That's where the apostles walked in. That cute little knowledge. I hope I could bring it simple enough, because I think I brought it simple enough for me to understand. But you are his righteousness. His grace covers you. All your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
security. Anyone have anything to add? I guess that's about it then.
Have a great week.
I'd just like to ask one question. Is that like that thing about once saved, always saved?
I would have to say that if the Word of God says that I am forgiven, that He's never going to let me go, I mean, those people who truly accept the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart and have a love for God are not going to do anything to go out there and spit on His blood. Now, if I will say that if somebody's just going through the motions, they are not really saved to begin with.
Okay.
If I am true to God and I accept Christ and I see the blessings that are coming my way, I'm not going to run down to the local bar joint, get drunk, and walk off with some women.
All right,
because
all right.
As you become more and more like Him, you may end up going in there, but you're not going in there for the same purpose. You're going in there to get somebody out.
Come on.
All right.
It is not a license to sin.
Okay.
All right. It is a license to become more godlike.
Amen. I got you.
Third warning.
I got you.
Turning away, too.
All right.
Third warning.
You walk in there. There's always going to be the infiltrators within the church. They come in sheep's clothing. They have several purposes. Some of them are trying to get us back under the law. Some of us are just trying to discredit everything. They have what they call the spirit of Antichrist. But no, once saved, always saved. A true believer in Christ that comes for the right reasons, accepts Christ. Once saved, always saved, period. All right.
All right.
There is no other way around it. Because we are not looking, a true believer in God, and it's someone who wants to be more Christ-like. It's not looking for a way to get saved and walk out there and do their own thing.
All right.
They're going to fall.
Yeah.
And I'm going to fall. We're going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. But the difference is when we get back up, do we run back out and do the same thing?
No.
Or is there a hesitation time?
That's right.
That's the difference.